You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us ahead of the one of the biggest weeks of the golfing season. The Masters 2016 is almost upon us. And you're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you to provide our preview of the first major championship of the season. First of all, a warm welcome to Mike Grenham. Good afternoon, Mike.
And to you, Dave. The best tidings to you.
I'm looking forward to this week immensely. And Dave Tindall, welcome along.
Greetings, David.
We have a full range of markets available here with William Hill ahead of the Masters 2016. And I'll start with the tournament winner prices. Jason Day is 7-1 favourite to win the event. Rory McIlroy 8-1, Jordan Spieth 10-1, Adam Scott 12-1, Bubba Watson is 12-1, Ricky Fowler 16s, Dustin Johnson 18-1, and it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. There's a real sense, Mike, of excitement surrounding this. I know there's always a certain degree of excitement surrounding any major championship, but it seems to have intensified in the lead up to this event, I think.
Yeah, the top players are playing ever so well, and most of them play Augusta really well. So who out of the top five or six players isn't banging form and hasn't got a good Augusta record? The answer is none of them. They're all playing well, and they all play really well here. So it's a shootout at OK Augusta.
It is indeed. And Dave, last year we saw Jordan Spieth obviously romp to a four-shot success, equaling Tiger Woods' record of 18 under par, which he set back in 1997. The difference is Spieth won by four, Tiger won that event by 12. And a slight anomaly with conditions last year as well, given it was very soft and benign conditions. We expect the wind to blow a little bit at Augusta and the golf course to play hard and firm, and it didn't last year.
Yeah, I've seen some forecasts for Friday, which is about 15 to 25 miles an hour possibly, so could wind...
AM or PM, Dave?
I'm not sure, just sort of generally. Yeah. So it's definitely going to be tougher, I think, and you always find, I think, when the Masters green jackets look at the course and think, well, they've taken our course for 18 under, they won't want that to happen again. So I think the feeling amongst the players is it's going to revert back to maybe that sort of 12 under mark or something like that.
As far as the golf course is concerned as well, for people that have just landed and are new to golf, this is the only major championship that is played at the same course every year, Augusta National, and it is a fantastic golf course, Mike, and we'll ask Dave about what it's like to be there in a second.
Well, he was going to get it in anyway, Dave, wasn't he? But he doesn't miss a trick.
Took your time.
We've never been.
No, Dave's been. How many times have you been, Mr. Tindall?
Four times.
And you can't... I always hear from people that have been there, you don't quite get to understand the undulations of the golf course.
No, you don't.
On television.
But Dave will tell us how undulating they are.
Go on, Dave.
And how lovely Kirsty Gallagher is.
Oh, it's so undulating. No, certainly from the... I think certain holes you kind of think you know they're undulating, but the first hole is this huge dip straight down, and then it rises dramatically up to where the tee shots are going to land, and you think, blimey. And then the second hole, absolutely incredible view down into that sort of dip where the green sits at the bottom. And those first two holes, you think, Mike, I've never seen anything like this. It really is staggering. And it is like you've walked through the TV screen. It's just picture perfect. It's unbelievable place.
Is it, yeah, very tidy.
And the word this year is it's looking even better than ever. So
they've not had a lot of rain this year, have they? I think so. It should play a bit faster.
A little bit of the weekend, but I think it's dried out, and I think it's going to play quite fast, yeah.
And that's what we want, isn't it, Mike? Because
fast greens and yeah.
Last year was a bit boring, wasn't it?
Oh, a bit boring it was, Dave, yes.
The best player in the world at the time got off to a fast start and no one caught him, and it's not particularly good for viewing, is it, or betting?
Yeah. What do you think is needed to achieve success around Augusta, Mike?
I think par 5 scoring is very important, Dave. So therefore putting is probably a big factor as well. So those two things. I do like the tee to green guys. Strokes gained tee to green is important. But if I was to sum it up for me, I don't know what you guys think, I would say you've got to score on the par 5s. And the other thing you've got to do is you've got to start well. If you're not in the close to the lead in the, after the first round, I think you're in big trouble personally. I think it's really
it's hard to catch up.
Really hard to come from behind.
Yeah.
So I'll be saving a few stakes back for, as I always say every year, for Friday morning, because it's a winning formula, I think.
Dave?
Yeah, you can definitely spray it off the tee when you go there. Here I go. The trees are incredible. They're massively tall, but there's no sort of branches down below. So if you've always got a shot through them, and you're not in thick sort of grass round the trees. It's that pine straw, and you get good lies off there, so you can hit proper shots.
Yeah,
hook the ball around them and things like that.
Yeah, so people who can move the ball around them, like Mickelson and Bubba, you can see why that they just love this course, because there are gaps.
Yeah.
Okay, selections then.
Would you agree on the par 5 bit?
I think fundamental, that's vitally here, important.
One little thing that I read today from Scott Mitchell, who's kind of the local beat writer for the Augusta Chronicle, top bloke, he really knows his stuff. He said the wind on Friday is going to be into the players on the three of the par 5s. So
okay,
it suggests a lot of them might have to play three shots if it's blowing.
That is interesting.
That'd suit the Bombers, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it might just reduce those who can go for it in two.
And when they made the changes to the golf course back in 2002 and it underwent that renovation, they mowed the fairways back into the players, which I think, even though it measures just under 7,500 yards, it's a little bit longer than that.
Yes, it is, yeah. Yeah, you don't get a lot of run, do you?
You don't, and I think that does suit the Bombers. I am looking at driving distance over driving accuracy, but...
Oh, definitely. Maybe
not the be-all and end-all, though.
No, I think that driving distance is important, isn't it? Because par fives are important, and you'd rather hit it a long way than not, but it's not absolutely everything, is it? Because there's a little bit more to it than that, but... Yeah, I've gone for players who can hit it a good long way, though, I have to be honest. And one player that I nearly pick, that I pick every year, whose name rhymes with Sushar, I haven't picked because he's maybe not quite long enough. So that's what I think. I'm with you, Dave. I think both of you are saying it. Distance above accuracy
miles
from the tee.
More important.
Yeah. And we've not really...
But speed's not that long, is it? And there were a few players in the top 10 last year who are not that long, so it's not absolutely everything, but... The shorter players have to play, the mid-range players,
else
they have to play
working
really well. They have to putt really well, don't they?
And the one stat that gets wheeled out every single year, which we've not mentioned, is course experience. Fuzzy Zeller back in 79, the only debutant, the last debutant to win at Augusta National. And generally, you need a few goes around here to get used to conditions.
Yeah, I would say so. But we've seen with Jason Day and John Spieth both went second on their debuts here in recent years, and Spieth won on his second outing. Course experience is important, but some of these young guns are very good, aren't they? Yeah. So how much longer that will be a factor, I don't know. But yes, you definitely on balance, you'd want lots of experience.
Okay, I've got two picks this week, Mike.
I've got two, so Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, three.
Go for it.
Well, I'll start by saying, if you can decide between Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott and Bubba Watson, if you can pick one of them over at the other four, you're a better man than me, because I haven't got a clue which of those five are going to win. Do you? Can you come down firmly on the side of any one of those?
Well, I think
the other four could easily pick him off.
No, I think as Mike said at the top of the programme, this is a very, very difficult year in the fact that you've got five guys at the head of the betting who all are in reasonable form, some of them spectacular form, and they've all got Augusta experience, all love playing around the venue. But you can't. You've got to kind of make your choice, haven't you?
And there's
You can. I think pick holes in this time round.
Well, I think you can pick holes in anything you like if you want. But I cannot. I look at the top five and thinking, five players 12-1 or under. There's no one.
Okay.
You know, the definition of them being 12-1 or under shows how respected they are. So, I've decided to look at finding each way value rather than trying to... I mean, hopefully my picks can win, and I think they can, but they've got it all on to beat those five, I have to say. But the one I'm going to go with is my main bet, because I think he's the each way value of this Masters, is Charles Schwartzel at 40-1. I think that's a really, really big price. I don't quite know why he's out at that price. Obviously, he won the Green Jacket in 2011, so he's done something that Rory McIlroy's never done something Jason Day's never done.
You're already picking holes in those guys.
Yeah,
at the top
he
of the
is, isn't he? Yeah.
There you go. And he won that by birdie in the last four holes, so he's got the incredible memories of it. He wasn't given it, he went out and got it. Incredible Masters that was. He's obviously had a couple of tricky years, hasn't he, where he's not been the player that we thought he'd kick on to be. But this year he's really back with a bang. He's won three of his last seven stroke play starts. Okay, two of those were European Tour events on his home South African soil.
Yeah.
But I think winning breeds winning, doesn't it? And the very fact that he won those, I think, helped to win the Valspar a few weeks ago, which is his only US win since that Masters. So I think that was a big thing for him. I think if he wanted to win another one, he's got to think that wasn't just a one-week-only deal. So he's won that Valspar. Look at his stats. I think greens in reg and scrambling are very important at this course. He's 18th in greens in reg. He's 11th in scrambling. He had a nice warm-up in Houston last week, tied 13th. One of those ones, you don't want him to blow his cover and finish second and get his price hacked, but you don't want him missing the cut or finishing 50th.
Yeah.
So 13th was just perfect, really, for me. I just think 40-1. I think on his day, I think he can live with the best players in the world. So I think 40-1 is a nice each-way value, really good each-way value.
Very good.
Fair call, Dave. Well, I'm going to attempt to be a better man than you because I'm picking Bubba Watson as my headline pick. I think Bubba just loves it here. Has found it difficult to defend, but has won in two of the last 4 years. Loves the course. All the stats that we talked about earlier, he's doing great on. He hits it a mile. He's first for strokes, tee to green. Right up there on birdies on par fives and par five scoring. He's actually this year, funnily enough, won at the National Northern Trust, should I say, and been second in the Cadillac. And that happened 2 years ago when he won. So whether that's a bit too good to be true or not, I don't know. Look, he's 12-1. He's twice the price of Jason Day. I don't think he's twice as unlikely to win as Jason Day. I think 12-1 is a very good price for a player who might well turn out to be the best Masters player of all time, because he really does love it around here. He might not equally, but left-handers do ever so well here, don't they? And Bubba just seems to love it, apart from when he's defending, where he seems to get distracted. I think he's got an enormous chance at 12-1.
Yeah, I think that's key for Bubba, isn't it? And we mentioned this off air a few days ago, Mike. In 2013 and 15, has to host the Champions Dinner and media commitments. It just seems to get on top of him in those years.
He does, absolutely, Dave. You know what he's like. He's a bit eccentric, isn't he? And as we saw at Phoenix this year, where he just blew the tournament by talking rubbish and getting embroiled in nonsense off the course. If he can keep his mind clear and he doesn't have the worry of arranging what dinner to people have to eat on the Wednesday night and what have you, I think he's just, that seems to suit him.
Out of interest, Mike, I'm sure you'll come to this, but are you backing him each way or win only? Because he's either hit or miss for me.
Now, that's a very good point, Dave. Here. I have to say I have backed him each way in one of my bets, but I'm going to put him up win only because I think your challenge there is probably a fair one. He's gone moderate first, hasn't he? Oh, the other way around, actually. First moderate in the last 4 years. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. It may be a famine or a feast with Bubba. I just have a feeling that the defending champion thing is, what I'm putting it down to anyway. But for that reason, good question, I am going win only.
And just one final pointer before we move on with Bubba. I don't know if you've seen it in the press, but apparently he's had a sinus infection as well.
Right.
And that's...
Well, he has, but then I was just watching On the Range a few hours ago.
Is he there
ago,
now?
And they interviewed him. It wasn't even mentioned.
Right, okay. That's weird because a lot of people last night were tweeting about it, saying he hadn't been able to practice on the Monday and made it out to be a big deal. I asked Jamie Spence about it on the other podcast and he was saying this happens every single time there's a major tournament. Someone has some sort of illness and it's blown out of all proportion by the media.
So basically what he did, he went to that drive, pitch and putt thing that the kids play.
Yeah,
because he's a big supporter of that on the weekend.
Yeah.
Then had Monday off because he was blowing his nose a bit, and then he was out on the range this morning at, 8 p.m.? Yeah. 8 a.m.?
That's good to hear.
He's all right.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, win only for me, Dave.
Yeah. I think the price sort of helps guide you towards win only as well.
It means, I've had another bet as well. So.
Yeah.
I'm going with Ricky Fowler as my headline selection here at 16-1, playing 1.5 points each way. I do think from the guys at the top, I like him best. He's just primed to win his first major championship in my mind. He's got the experience now that's required at the Masters, having had five starts around Augusta National, making the cut on all five appearances, and best two performances have come in the last 2 years as well, with that fifth place finish in 2014, followed up with a 12th place finish last year. As everyone knows, he was top five in all four majors back in 2014. And since then, which I think is key for Fowler, he's become a regular winner on both tours. Won the Players and the Deutsche Bank last season, and beat Thomas Peters by a shot to claim the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship on the European Tour earlier this season. Recent form solid as well. Playoff loss to Hideki Matsuyama at the Phoenix, followed by a tie for 6th at the Honda, tie for 8th at the Cadillac, and last week I think it was a perfect performance to finish in a tie for 10th at Houston, and he was number one for greens in regulation last week as well. The stats back up his price as well here at 16-1 in my opinion. He's second in the all-around greens in regulation stats this season, 6th in strokes gained tee to green, and he's number one in the all-around. And he's been able to keep bogeys off the card as well, which has been a problem for Fowler throughout the years. He's number one in bogey avoidance this year, which I found interesting, given that he has had maybe the accusation you could throw at him was that he can throw in the odd double or treble. That's not happened as much this season.
No, fair call.
So I like Ricky Fowler this week at 16-1.
Yeah.
Fair dues.
I'm glad you've put him up. Very close to picking him. I've kind of just gone a couple of rungs further down the betting for my next one. Phil Mickelson. I mean, Mike talked about the record of left-handers, Bubba sort of having the mantle in recent years, but Mickelson's record is absurd, isn't it? 3 wins at Augusta National, 1,000,000 top fives. Well, 11 to be precise. That's crazy, isn't it? And he was runner-up last year when he was kind of in no form going into the event. So it's his favourite tournament of the year. He said that time and time again. Just his play this year, it's a very different level to what we've seen him go into the Masters in the last few years. He's 9th in strokes gained tee to green, very impressive. 6th in strokes gained putting, very impressive. 1st in scoring average. He played at Houston last week, again that ideal thing, tied 13th. A lot of his major wins come off a little build-up like that where he just gets his eye in and then kicks on in the big one. He did one swing where Johnny Miller said that's the swing he won the Players' Championship with, and when he did win the Players' Championship, he was just keeping the ball much better in play than the wild Mickelson we tend to think of. So I think the only thing that can go wrong is he gets in his way and it's too good to be true, because everything is there, and that price is just fine for me. 20-1, Phil Mickelson on this course, because I think he should be right up there with some of the others in terms of how well they play this course. I think on this course he's as good as anybody.
Have you batted him?
Yeah,
anti-post. We're both on him anti-post. Yeah. Myself and Dave. So
bit bigger,
yeah. But
not a lot.
That's
bigger,
the only reason I mentioned it. If it was small, I would have said it. I agree with that.
I'm surprised he's still 20s.
I suppose it's just
the age
thing. Yeah. 45 years old now. Not many players win major championships when they're over 40.
How many Masters has he got again?
Three. And 11 top fives.
I think Jack Nicklaus has got 5 Masters, hasn't he?
Six.
Yeah. I was just saying that Bubba might be the best player. He's not going to get another
he's
5 Masters.
Get another
is he?
Five, no. Is he? No.
That was nonsense. Disregard that. But yeah, Mickelson, he ain't going to get there either, but he's got...
If you've backed him...
He could get to 4, couldn't he?
If you backed him each way down the years, he would have been paid out 14 times. I mean, that's just crazy.
I backed him. I had one of my... I'm going to say something in a few moments, Dan, that's going to make me look muggy.
Okay.
This could make me look muggy, because the one year that I backed him was the year he didn't play the prep tournament and bombed out badly.
Yeah.
And that was the one year when I backed him, and I thought he was an absolute cast-iron certainty to be in the each-way places, and because he didn't have that prep run, that's so important for Mickelson.
He gets really antsy if he hasn't played the week before.
Yeah, he needs to play the week before major championships.
But we did mention on the podcast, didn't we, that we were backing him each year about the time that we both did, and totally supportive of that, Dave. And I'd love to see Phil win, he'd be fantastic,
wouldn't he?
He's almost, well, not quite as old, but he's almost going to be like that Fred Couples figure. Oh, he's there again every year, and when's it ever going to stop? Couples was still challenging, wasn't he?
Last year's only he's missed the couples, and he's missing out this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. But Mickelson, he's got a few good Masters in him still, I think. And I think everything points to a big one this time.
Mike?
I'm going, because of the tightness of the betting at the top, there's a whole load of players you could pick, isn't there? But I'm going to have a little bit of a speculative one. I want to look at Dave Tindall's face when I say Brandon Grace is my pick for as a bit of an outsider for this, because you picked him in the World Match Play a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Now, on the basis of form here, he hasn't got a chance because he's missed the cut the last 2 years. But the year before, he was 18th. Started with a 78, then went 70, 71 and 69. So I think Grace is one of those players that might be able to do what Louis Oosthuizen did here. Louis Oosthuizen, do you remember, missed three cuts?
He missed three cuts, yeah, didn't he, yeah, before contending.
And then he won, didn't he? So, South Africa
got beaten in the playoff.
Yeah. Got beaten in the playoff, sorry, yeah. Bible bear. Yeah. I'm just wondering whether Grace might be able to do that. He's 18th in his first go here. As I say, at the weekend, his scores were as good as anyone's. I think it might be in the year that Adam Scott won. But the last 3 years he's played there, the 3 years he has played there, his first rounds have been 78, 84 and 75. That's not going to get it done, is it?
No.
So what I'm going to do is have half a point on him each way before the tournament. And if he has a good first round, I'm going to play it up. But he hits it a mile. He's good from tee to green. He showed last year with his finishes in the majors that he can contend at the top level in American majors. He's 70-1. It's the price as much as anything that just makes me think this is a player who's got the ability to win a major, and has shown he's got two rounds in the 60s at Augusta, which is pretty important. You've got to be able to score in the 60s there. If he can get off to a much better start, it needs to be much better. I think this guy who hits it quite a long way could be yet another South African winner of the Masters.
Mm. I would say I don't like his ball flight for Augusta. I think it's too low.
Right, okay.
But then Mike could easily say, well, forget all that fancy theory. Look at his scores, which is actually what counts.
Mm.
And if you can shoot in the 60s, I think the wind thing might help him as well, actually, if it is a bit of a windy...
I think that will definitely be positive for Grace.
That would definitely help him. You know, he's obviously 72-1, and I was trying to get, with having a shorty in the term in respect of Bubba, I thought I need to, if I'm going to have another bet, I want to have someone who's a little bit speculative, and he could easily miss the cut, this guy, again, couldn't he? Let's be honest, if he starts with another 78, it's bye-bye Brandon, but that could easily happen. But I do have him down as a future major winner, I do, and I just wonder whether he might just do something like Oosthuizen did and go one step better, you're right, and win it. And I don't think Schwartzel's form was outstanding before he'd played there, was it, either? I don't think he'd missed cuts, but he was...
He'd only played it once, Schwartzel.
30th or something like
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he'll be chatting with those guys, he'll be doing his practice rounds, and maybe learning a bit about the course. I don't think he'd be a shocking winner.
I'm going to go with... and take a punt here as well for my second selection. Jimmy Walker is my second selection.
I think you both picked him last year, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I was going to say, you know, when I said about Mickelson being muggy, he was about 20-1 last year to win the Masters, and this year he's 80-1.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about finding value, he's four times the price he was last year. He's not four times as bad as he was last year.
Well,
admittedly,
three times
as bad. And admittedly,
your Masters is
bad. Admittedly, that price last year was a bad price, and I got sucked in, basically, because he won three times in 2014.
He's been playing very well, hasn't he?
He was on fire in 2015, won a couple of lead-up events, and he's 80-1 to win this event this year. His form in the majors was exceptional in 2014 as well, had three top tens, all three of them coming in the US majors, and finished eighth at Augusta on his debut in 2014. That's why he was such a short price last year, but he's having a solid season this season. Jimmy Walker probably should have won the Farmers when he got the worst.
Well,
he
got the worst of the weather there.
Snedeker beat him.
We're not batting him.
Yeah. He finished tied for 11th at Pebble Beach, 6th at the Cadillac, and tuned up nicely for this test when finishing in the top 20 last week in Houston. Greens in regulation starts aren't as strong as you would like, but he's 15th in strokes gained tee to green. He's 3rd in par 5
performance.
That's
more important than Kingsbury anyway.
I agree. 3rd in par 5 scoring this season as well.
Is he?
Wonderful putter on fast greens, Walker. Got a very good short game. And I think you look at his wins, they've come in events where wind can be a factor. A couple in Hawaii, one in Texas. I think he's flying under the radar here. No, 80-1, I think it's a fair price on Jimmy Walker.
I'd go along with all of that, yeah. The only thing, I having backed him a couple of times this year, he's just getting double and even treble bogeys on his card a little bit much. He needs to stop
just
that,
a bit erratic.
Yeah, because it's hard to win here. I think Spieth had a couple of double bogeys last year, if I remember rightly. But usually you've got to keep the doubles off here, haven't you?
It's just one of those situations
so if
where
he does that, I agree, I like his
was
chance.
He, was he injured last year? I've got a funny feeling he was injured. He was had some sort of hand injury. He wasn't at his
That excuses the pick then.
Yeah, so you can roll him.
It's just one of those prices, Dave, where you see him 22 to 1 last year, admittedly coming up into the tournament on the back of brilliant form, and he's 80 to 1 this year.
Hmm. Yeah, well, no, I get it, Dave. I do.
Well, I put him up in Houston last week, so I obviously rate him a little bit. He was 40 to 1 in, I think, or 50s last week.
I just suppose the one slight reservation I've got, even though I've picked him, is has he got the mental fortitude to win a major championship at 37 years old now?
Yeah, I think he has. He's a proven multiple winner, isn't he?
Yeah,
Jim Herman won last weekend. It wasn't a major, but
wouldn't be the biggest worry.
Wouldn't be the biggest
him.
Shot. No,
no,
no. He's a multiple winner.
Yeah,
the majors are different, as Colin Montgomery would attest. But I think if he's given a chance, he's got every.
It's a good price.
Possibility, yeah. I think it's a good price.
Yeah.
Dave, your final pick then?
My final pick, again, I've looked a little bit further down, not as far down as you, but another 40-1 chance in Hideki Matsuyama.
Okay.
Very sort of, he's still in his sort of early 20s, isn't he? A young guy, but he's had 6 top 20s in the majors already, so he's clearly taken them like a duck to water. He had 3 in 2013. That included a 10th in the US Open, 6 in our Open, where you would have thought, is that the tournament for him? Then he had 3 more top 20s in last year's majors, including a 5th here, which was great. And it wasn't the biggest surprise because he'd played this twice as an amateur and made the cut both times. He was low amateur in 2011, Schwartzel's win. I actually watched that on DVD the other night, and God, he's put on some timber since then.
Who has?
Matsuyama.
Matsuyama.
He's quite a stocky bloke now. He's quite.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's a positive, if anything.
He's in his 20s, he'll be able to eat anything. So he plays Augusta really well. He's really, really good. You said about Walker, he's excellent on fast greens. Memorial, Jack Nicklaus's tournament, that's always tried to be set up with fast greens.
Yeah.
And Matsuyama won that a couple of years ago. And just puts these greens really, really well. He's a winner in Phoenix earlier this year, so he's got some confidence from that. Last start, he was 6th at Bay Hill. I think he's got a bit of everything going for him. Good major player, excellent performer at Augusta National, and he's got form as well. So I think 40-1. I think he's another, because of all that focus on the top 5 or 6 in the betting, he's another. I think he's gone under the radar a bit. I'm surprised that you can get 40s. If someone has said after his 5th place last year, where he kind of, you know, showed how well he can play it, and given that he's won this year already, and that what a good player he's become, I'm surprised he can get 40s.
Yeah, but the thing about that, Dave, is that, as you said earlier, there are 5 big guns that are all 12-1 or less. You have to spread the percentage out somewhere.
Yeah, I suppose you can need to look at it.
There's 5 real shorties, isn't there, for a major there? So you've got to have.
You can get
a bit bigger.
You can get a bit down thinking, how do you pick those top 5? But the other thing is, it pushes out players who have got a big chance as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, chaps, so we've been through our selections. We'll spin through those again at the end of the podcast.
Let's just a quick line on each of the top five
that we've not spoken about. Jason Day, 7-1.
Day started very well here, as we've said. The last couple of years are slightly disappointing. May have excuses, but obviously got a big chance.
6 of his last 13 PGA tournaments he's won. That's just incredible, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think he's a worthy favourite. I think the right man's at the top of the betting.
Yeah, I do. I think I said last week, if you're designing a golfer, he hits it long and got a brilliant short game, he's perfect for Augusta.
Yeah, puts like a demon.
He's twice the short as Bubba, though, and two Masters wins less.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Rory McIlroy, 8-1. He's the one that I'm not sure about at the top of the betting. He's the one that you can
well, I backed Rory in this last year. I've always thought he'd win at Augusta, but I'm not sure about his putting quite well enough. Look, it wouldn't surprise any of us if he won, but I haven't picked him this year.
I don't know if he's playing well enough, and never mind the putting. I mean, he ended up having a run at the match play, but if he'd have been in a group with anyone that was performing half decently in that group stage, he'd have been on his bike, and I think we'd be able to get a bigger price on McIlroy this week.
I think he's got a big chance this week.
Yeah.
I really do.
Okay.
He had that shock in 2011 when he should have won and went to pieces, and it knocked him for a few years, but his results since have got better and better. 8th 2014, 4th last year. It's like he's rebuilt his confidence. So it's almost like the next stage then is right to get right in contention on the Sunday, and I think he will be this year.
All right.
Conditions were perfect for him last year, though, weren't they? Soft, yes, they benign conditions. It might not play as easily for McIlroy this year, perhaps.
They've all got a big chance, haven't they, to the top five. I mean, Jordan Spieth's the next one. Second and first in his two outings here. 10-1 could look a big price, couldn't it? It's you've take your choice.
Yeah, you never guessed he'd be double figures, would you? I don't think last year when he won by so far.
But again, there are niggles about his game a little bit, albeit he came with a bit of a run on Sunday and looked magical for a bit, but then kind of dropped up off slightly.
That was surprising, I thought, because the way Spieth, we just know Spieth as a guy that's come out on tour and just dominated, and we've not seen those lapses from Spieth. Yeah. Like you'd have expected in Houston after that front nine for him to maybe win the championship.
You would, yeah.
He does put like a demon on these greens, though. I've read some quotes where he says he can sort of see the breaks. He can just, others, it bamboozles him. He likes seeing the ball breaking into the hole visually. So
and at his best, he's a phenomenal putter.
If he puts well, he sort of leaves others for dead, doesn't he?
12-1.
Very much so.
Adam Scott.
Not for me.
No, not for me. Putting, I think, on these fast greens.
I don't know. Well, I think he's got every chance, Adam Scott. He's won twice this year, putted well in those wins. I think if he'd come to Augusta with no win under his belt with the short putter, I think, oh, well, this isn't the place to start doing it. But I think he's got confidence.
Are there any others you want to mention before we have a look at the special markets?
Yeah, Kuchar, who I've done probably about the last couple of years here, I think he'll be there or thereabouts, probably not quite win. He should, you know, he didn't play very well here last year, but before that, three top tens. Doesn't hit as far as the requisite, people would say, but he's very good on par fives. He's always quite high in the par five stats, so I expect him to play to outperform 66-1. Let's put it that way. Chris Kirk, who I listened to the end of the podcast last year, we both picked Chris Kirk, you know, last year, and I was half tempted to pick him this year, then I realised I picked him last year, and I thought, can't do that again. Finished 33rd, 20th the year before, from Georgia, played very, very well at the match play. Again, could have been a little bit longer, but I'll be watching him. I think he could give people a run for their money.
That was a nice pick at the match play. I was hoping he was going to progress.
He really
gave you a run, didn't he?
He really did. He was even played well when he got beaten as well.
Yeah, he did. Mm. He did. Any you want to mention, Dev?
Yeah, Patrick Reed. 10 of the last 16 Masters winners were in the top 10 in the world at the time. So his cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
He's world number 10, so he's in that bracket that target bracket who could throw up the winner. 35-1. He was a bit hyped on his debut. I think he went into it thinking he'd probably win because he'd done all that winning, and it kind of slapped him in the face. But he was decent last year, tied 22nd. I think that's the one that he's got under his belt now. I think he might throw in a big one, Patrick Reed. I think he's third in scrambling this year.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing as well around here. He went to university in Georgia.
He probably right shot don't shape. Want to win because I've followed him a bit this year. I could see him playing well at Augusta.
Yeah. I think he's kind of tried to modify his game for Augusta, hasn't he, by flighting the ball with his irons from left to right and, you know, holding that fade in now. So not only can he swing it off the tee, he can maybe find some of those...
Control the fade, yeah.
Yeah, control the fade with a second shot, so...
He won't like for bottling a fight either.
No, he won't.
No, exactly. Yeah.
No, I can see that one.
A couple I just want to mention very quickly. Mark Leishman at 70-1.
Knew you'd mention
him. And I have to mention him because I mentioned him the last couple of times we've done this podcast on the Masters. He contended in 2013 when finishing fourth. Yeah. Played well in 2014 before absolutely capitulating on that occasion. Yeah. And he ranks well in all those metrics you're looking for. And he played well at Riviera as well. And there's a link there with Adam Scott and Bubba Watson both.
Played well in the Open last year as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he's underrated. So 70-1. And Danny Willett as well, 66-1.
Yeah. Nappy factor.
His partner's just had their first child. And he's produced brilliant performances in Dubai earlier on in the year and in the Cadillac Championship as well.
I thought someone might have mentioned Justin Rose.
Oh yeah, why haven't I mentioned Justin Rose? He's close, 25s. I kind of think he won't win. I think he'll get outputted by somebody. But I think he's good for a top five or something.
Solid.
Like that.
I can never believe his Masters record, Rose. When you look at
he's got eight top 25s. Is someone top five, top 10 market? Definitely, but I can't quite see him getting it done.
Yeah, second last year, wasn't he?
And
The last 5 years, 11th, 8th, 25th, 14th, 2nd.
One little one stat I noticed, McIlroy's only beaten Rose in one of the last five Masters.
That's interesting.
Interesting,
yeah. Okay, chaps, we've got loads of markets on the William Hill website, so do check them all out. Lots of top player markets, a few specials as well. Mike, you've had a little look at a few of these markets. Top European player, top debutant, top senior player.
Which one do you want to start with?
I've got a pick in the top debutant market, so let's start there. Andy Sullivan and Rafa Cabrera Bay are 6-1 joints in this market. Justin Thomas and Kevin Kisner both 7s. 12-1 Berger, Griot, Api Barnerat and Knox, and it's 14s bar.
Who have you picked?
I've gone with Bryson DeChambeau.
Have you indeed?
The amateur in this market at 14-1. That's going to be my last bet on this podcast. I tweeted out an article.
Whatever.
Done.
Going down.
Done. After Jimmy Walker last year and Jimmy Walker this year, I'm finished. But I tweeted out an article from the Golf Channel website a few nights ago, and he's put in an enormous amount of work for this Masters. He's charted every green. He's been playing practice rounds with Phil Mickelson and Ben Crenshaw. And he's so analytical in the way he goes about things. If you get a chance, read that piece. It's fascinating. And he's played some great golf as well. Played well in Abu Dhabi before falling away. Remember, shot that opening round 7 under par.
Yeah.
Tied 18th in the Dubai Desert Classic. Finished in a tie for 27th at the Arnold Palmer. I'm not sure there's another player on tour that has all his irons the same size.
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
Does.
Yeah.
I just think he's going to be a prodigious talent. So getting him at 14-1 to be top debutant, I'll take that.
I think he's gone a bit OCD about all this. I would rather go with Daniel Berger.
He was great last week, wasn't he?
I think he's a fantastic player, Daniel. The more I see of him, the more I think, God, you're going to be really, really good. So I wouldn't back him to do anything crazy like win it this week, but I think he can take care of this slot, so I'd go for Berger.
I'll take DeChambeau against Berger there.
The interview
in a lifetime career bet.
Oh, yeah.
Lunch bet, Dave.
If I was having a bet in that, and I would go for Emiliano Grillo, who I think may well be suited by Augusta. He hits it a long way, decent on the greens. Just wonder whether he'll putt quite well enough, but Angel Cabrera, his countryman, plays pretty well here.
Top European player then, McIlroy. Rory McIlroy at the top of the betting here with William Hill at 7-4. Henrik Stenson, 11-2. Justin Rose, 11-2. Danny Willett, Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, all 14-1, 20s bar.
Bernd Wiesberger is a bet at 33s there, I think. 22nd on his debut here last year. Playing quite nicely in America. A lot of the Europeans have question marks against them for me. Each way, obviously. I think he could easily get in the four there. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Wiesberger, and I thought that top 25 was excellent last year. So give him a run against most of those.
Okay. Bernd Wiesberger in that market.
None for you there, no?
33s. No, I think...
No, nothing jumps out.
No, I'm happy to see how Rafa Cabrera Bello goes, given his form in America the last couple of weeks. But I just wonder about his chipping and putting on these surfaces.
Enough.
I don't
know.
Surprised.
And he's a debutant.
Yes, he is indeed. A top senior player, Bernard Langer, heads the market here, 15-8. Davis Love is 12-5. Vijay Singh, 12-5. 13-2, Mark O'Meara. Surely it's any price the other four in this market.
Sandy Lyle plays well here, to be fair. He's just better than you think. I would say, though, that I think Vijay Singh is our man here. Vijay has made the cut in the last 4 years. No Fred Couples to beat. He's disappeared because of injury. So Vijay, who is a past winner here at Augusta, I like his chances here better than Langer, who is a very hit and miss at this course. He either plays really well or misses the cut, doesn't feature. So, yeah, Vijay, for his age, he had a 6, was it, in the Honda recently?
Yep.
He can still play in the main tour. Hits it a mile, high ball flight, which you like here, Dave. 12-5 is not a bad price for him.
And just one top 20 bet from you, Dave?
Yeah, quite a simple one. Ian Poulter, top 20. It's 3-1 to have a top 20. That would have landed 6 times in the last 9 years. He's just really good at Augusta without being good enough to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, not long enough, probably.
Yeah, 3rd in Puerto Rico as well, last time out.
I hope you've enjoyed this, folks. We'll wrap up now with our best bets for the Masters 2016. Mike, do you want to start off?
3 points Bubba win at 12s and half a point each way at Brandon Grace at 70. Player that will be is going well after round one, but definitely save some stakes back for after the first round. If they're in the top 10 and you like them, back them again or back them for the first time?
I'm going with a couple of picks for me. I'm going 1.5 points each way, Ricky Fowler at 16-1, and a point each way, Jimmy Walker at 80-1. I will have a point each way on Bryson DeChambeau in that top debutant market at 14s as well.
Yeah, for me, the outrights, a point each way, Charles Schwartzel at 40s, a point each way, Phil Mickelson at 20s, and a point each way, Hideki Matsuyama at 40s. And I'm going to have 2 points on Poulter at 3-1 to have a top 20. If he wins that, it pays for the other bets.
Very good. And your special bets, Mike?
Yeah, if I was to have a special bet, I'd go Vijay in the seniors, Wiesberger in the top European, and Griot in the top debutant.
Very good. Thank you, chaps. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. Make sure you do that. We'll be tweeting about the Masters throughout the course of the week.
Definitely during the first couple of rounds and et cetera as well. Worth keeping your eye on it all, yep.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
We'll do that, won't we?
We're live on InPlay Radio as well from 12 until 10, all 4 days of the Masters. And I know myself and Dave are on both Thursday and
Friday.
It's
a must listen.
It's a must listen. Yeah. It's a must listen. At D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, at M. Grenham, if you want to follow us all on Twitter. And don't forget, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and you can check us out on iTunes as well. Make sure you get your bets on here with William Hill for the Masters 2016. And we'll speak again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.